We're in the middle of talking about the Mittel Rebbe publicizing Hasidus, and we were speaking about how he published many of his father's memoirs. But there was one major difference between the way he published his father's Hasidus and the way he published his own Hasidus. The Alter Rebbe's Maimarim of Hasidus were published in a book form, like he made a sefer. But most of the Mittel Rebbe's own Hasidus was made a few sheets at a time. Even Teiras Chaim, which was bound together as a sefer, only included, at that time, the first five parshiyos of Chumash Bereishis. Now we have for Bereishis and Shemois. I don't know exactly why it didn't continue Vayikra B'Midbar Devarim. Anyways, it's believed that because he wanted to show respect for his father's Hasidus, so his father's Maimarim he published in a full sefer. But when it came to his own Maimarim, he wasn't interested in respect. He just wanted Hasidus to be learned. Also knowing the fact that the Hasidim, most of them, were extremely poor, he wanted to make it more affordable. A sefer is a lot of money, whereas a booklet, much cheaper. Now, the Mittel Rebbe's saying of Hasidus was literally unlimited. The Alter Rebbe would normally say Hasidus once or twice on Shabbos, and when he said it three times, like by the Mittel Rebbe's Bar Mitzvah, that was very uncommon. But the Mittel Rebbe would say many Maimorim on the same Shabbos. That was like a normal thing. There were times that he said one Maimor after another for hours straight. One time, on one of the Yom Tovim, his uncle, Rabbi Yehuda Leib, the Alter Rebbe's brother, the Maril, saw that he was about to start another Maimor. So he, you know, in a very quiet way, whatever, went up to him to suggest, I don't know how much the people could handle your Hasidus, your sayings nonstop. You know, that's what had to be done. According to Beis Rebbe, a sefer written by a chassid, said this was going to be his 11th mimer that day. The Rebbe, in the entire Nesiyas of the Rebbe on only one occasion said three mimerim by one Fabrengen. And that was on a Yud Kislev Fabrengen. What's Yud Kislev? The day that the Mittel Rebbe went out of jail. Not out of jail, he wasn't arrested, but he was declared innocent. Now, it's interesting, the one time the Rebbe did it, which Rebbe did he do it for? The Mittel Rebbe, the one who said an unlimited amount of Hasidus. Anyways, the following story just goes to show how much the Mittel Rebbe would pour out Hasidus. The Tzemach Tzedek's second son, Rabbi Yehuda Leib, there's a few Yehuda Leibs, right? There's the Alter Rebbe's brother, the Maril, and then the Tzemach Tzedek's son, the Maril. So Rabbi Yehuda Leib, his nickname was the Shtender. But now I'm going to say the whole story. So his youngest brother, who was born 6 years after the Mittel Rebbe's Histalkus, and who later became the Rebbe Marash, once asked him, why are you called Zaidi Shtender? And he said, once when I was walking outside with our grandfather, he said he wanted to say a mimer. So we stopped walking and he leaned on me and said a mimer for an hour. So the Rebbe Marash asked his brother, remember he's a little kid at the time, the Rebbe Marash. He said, oh, so because Zaidi leaned on you one time for an hour, you're called a Shtender? Well, it was a little more than an hour. It was more like 2 hours. So for one time that he leaned on you for 2 hours, you get this name forever, the Shtender? Yeah. Well, you know, he kept going on and on until the last thing he said was, well, one time it was for 18 hours. The other times, which was very often, were different amounts of time, meaning he was trying to, like, be an unav about it, but he probably did this all the time. And he just stayed there as long as the Mittel Rebbe was talking. It says, even on a regular weekday, we'd be walking down the street. Stop, we're saying Hasidus right here. Just to hear, you know, in order to hear another mimer. That was his whole thing. However, this is not why the Mittel Rebbe's Maimarim are referred to in the way we call it, that it's like a flowing river. His greatness wasn't just in how many Maimarim he said or how long they were. it was also because of how deep his Maimarim went. The Rebbe Rashab once said, he said, my hair fell out from learning Imre Bina. Now, as for publicizing Chassidus among the Chassidim, the Mittler Rebbe encourages Chassidim to constantly discuss among themselves Chassidus, and this desire of his, it became a reality. Now, perhaps this is why the Chassidim say that the Mittler Rebbe's Chassidim felt that they were living in the times of Mashiach. Because what is Chassidus? Chassidus is the Torah of Mashiach. Right, the Rambam writes that when Mashiach comes, the world's going to be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. And for the Mittler Rebbe's Chassidim, this was a reality. They were constantly reviewing, thinking of Chassidus. Now we're going to go into a little bit of tougher times. Although the financial situation for the Yidden in Russia was terrible, and many of them were extremely poor, they somehow managed. But in 1823, 1824, it got way worse. The Tsar began to make the second phase of one of his horrible gezeiros known as the Pale of Settlement. So this already started by the time of the Alter Rebbe, that basically limited where Yidden could live and what jobs they can do. And this caused thousands of Yidden to have to move. And this, of course, tens of thousands of Yidden. Now, when that happens, first of all, they lose whatever livelihoods they have. So not only do they not have a home, they don't have a job. But it didn't stop there. It got worse. Because they lost their livelihood, what do? They can't support the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael anymore. They don't have money. And what are they supposed to do? The Yidden in Eretz Yisrael had no money. And this affected the Mittler Rebbe severely, and his health began to get very bad. He became so weak that year that he was not able to say Chassidus. In addition to all these troubles, there was a blood libel against the Yidden in the city of Veliz. And since many of the Yidden living there were the Mittler Rebbe's Chassidim, the government tried to include the Mittler Rebbe in these accusations, as if they were doing it because the Mittler Rebbe told him to. The doctors then told him in 1825, you have to travel to these hot springs that will help you rest and recuperate. Now, although there were hot springs in Russia he could have went to, the Mittler Rebbe made the long journey to the springs in Karlsbad, Germany. On the way there, he stopped off in Poisin, which was a very big Jewish community, not Hasidic, and he visited with Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger, he passed away in 1837, was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. His halachas that we have till today influence halacha mamish till now. People always learn his svarim. One of the greatest leaders among European Yidden in the 1800s. So, in his letters home that he wrote, the Mittler Rebbe wrote how impressed he was by his sincerity, and he said that if all the Rabbanim in Russia, in Poland, and Ukraine would be like Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Machloikis, meaning between Chassidim and Misnagdim, would never have happened. To be clear, Rabbi Akiva Eger was not a Chassid, and he was like a Misnagid, but he wouldn't have gone and made a fight about it. And he then mentioned in one of the letters that Rabbi Akiva Eger agreed to write to Amsterdam. Amsterdam was a big city where a lot of rich Yidden lived, to request financial assistance for the Chassidim in Eretz Yisrael. Amsterdam was actually the headquarters where Kupas Rabbi Meir Balanes was. Now it's believed that the Mittler Rebbe asked Rabbi Akiva to write on their behalf and request that the headquarters should cover whatever was still needed to send to the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. Now, at the end of the day, the shortage of money was so severe that for the next 3 years, the Mittler Rebbe only succeeded in raising one-third of the amount of money that was needed. But since he couldn't look away when another Yid was suffering, he borrowed money. Like the Rebbe himself took out a loan to give the money. Now, while he was at the hot springs in Karlsbad, he met Reb Mordechai Bennett. Reb Mordechai Bennett succeeded his Rebbe, Reb Shmuel Shmelke Halevi Horowitz, known as Reb Shmuel Shmelke of Nicholsburg. He was one of the greatest Talmidim of the Magid, him and his brother, Reb Shmuel Shmelke of Nicholsburg, and Reb Pinchas of, I think he was in Frankfurt, he was known as the Haflah because of a sefer he wrote. They were one of the only two people, the Talmidim of the Magid, who didn't stay in Eastern Europe. They went to Germany to be a Rebbe there. So they weren't the same type of Rebbe like the Rebbes in Eastern Europe. They were very different because they're dealing with a very different crowd. But they were tremendous tzaddikim. So Reb Mordechai Bennett was the one who took over Reb Shmuel Shmelke. And they discussed a lot of community matters. But we only know of one halachic thing that they discussed. It was a discussion about whether you're allowed to make a bracha on water that you drink from these hot springs. Why would you drink water from these hot springs? Because it's like a medicine. Do you make a bracha on medicine? I don't make a bracha on medicine. So the question is, do you make a bracha on this water? And the Mittler Rebbe wrote to his son-in-law, the Tzemach Tzedek, that he said, while he, meaning the Mittler Rebbe, said that we do make a bracha on the water. I'm sorry, he explained why he holds that. And although Reb Mordechai said that we don't, but eventually he agreed with the Mittler Rebbe and he ruled according to the Mittler Rebbe that we should make a bracha. Now returning home, the Mittler Rebbe hoped to be able to rest a little bit, but as we're going to see, that was not to happen. And now we're holding towards the end of the Mittler Rebbe's life. We're holding by his arrest. Now, we mentioned earlier that in the 8 months after the Alter Rebbe's Histalkus, until he settles in Lubavitch, Hasidim gave the Mittler Rebbe a large sum of money to help him personally build new houses for Beis Harav and a Beis Medrash. Now, as everything he owned was destroyed from the fire, Napoleon, he had nothing, so the Hasidim gave him this money. He's able to start over. The Mittler Rebbe wrote to the Chassid of Pinchas Reizis that he, together with another Chassid of Shlomo Freidis, who I think married Alter Rebbe's daughter, if I'm not mistaken, so he's a brother-in-law of the Mittler Rebbe, they should divide the money equally among the entire Beis Harav, and that every one of the Alter Rebbe's family members should receive something depending on their need. Meaning, don't just give everything to the Rebbe. There's other family members of the Alter Rebbe. 12 years later, this is in 1825, Reb Pinchas passed away while he was in Lubavitch, Pinchas Reizis. Now, since he was never benched with children, so his relatives inherited his possession. So we said the story about Reb Pinchas, but now we're going to say it in much greater detail because this is how it affects the Mittler Rebbe. The relative of the one who inherited this letter was a misnagid, as were most of Reb Pinchas Reizis' relatives. And he showed it to one of the Mittler Rebbe's cousins. This cousin, the last name was Lipman, he had a personal grudge against the Mittler Rebbe. For personal reasons. He was upset that the Mittler Rebbe once refused to arrange a marriage between their two families. Obviously, the Mittler Rebbe felt that he was not a good person to make a shidduch with. Now, informing the Mittler Rebbe that he had the letter, this Lipman, this cousin of the Mittler Rebbe, he threatened to show it to the authorities if the Mittler Rebbe would not give him some money. Basically, he's trying to bribe the Mittler Rebbe. Now, knowing that he was innocent of anything that he did wrong, the Mittler Rebbe refused to be intimidated. He's not scared. And he says, get out of here. I'm not giving you a cent. Now, upset by this failure to scare the Mittler Rebbe into, you know, blackmailing the Mittler Rebbe to give them money, so Lipman, together with Reb Pinchas' relative, they mamish carried out the threat. They falsely translated the letter to try to show that the Mittler Rebbe received the enormous sum of 130,000 ruble. From his Hasidim in the 3 month period after the war. Now, there's other opinions who write that it happened a different way. So, according to Beis Rebbe, which is the Hifu we mentioned earlier, the Hasidim gave between 3,000 and 4,000 ruble. That was it. So, what they did was they added a letter kuf in the front. Instead of four, it's 104 or 103,000. You just added 100,000 ruble Where did this money go? Like basically they're trying to make it look like he's a criminal. But we have newly released transcripts that came out in 1997 that changed the whole story. The Chassidim, what happened was the Chassidim raised $35,000 rubles. And the Mittler Rebbe told Reb Pinchas that he was only going to keep one third of it. So they translated it to mean, not that he got a third of 35,000, they translated it to mean that 35,000 was a third of what was collected, making it a total of 105,000 ruble. Anyways, in the letter to the government officials, this guy Lipman claimed that this was clear evidence that the Mittler Rebbe was organizing a rebellion against the government. How else would he need such a huge sum of money right after the war? Like, this would be ridiculous, right? Because the Mittler Rebbe and the Alter Rebbe were trying to help Russia. Now, as additional proof, they sent copies of the many letters that the Mittler Rebbe wrote to his Hasidim over the years, for the past 12 years, encouraging them to send money to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Eretz Yisrael at that time was under the Ottoman Empire, under Turkey, and they were at war with Russia. And Lipman's letter claimed that this was proof that the Mittler Rebbe was supporting the enemy all these years. And of course, they purposely hid the truth that all this money was going for the Mittler Rebbe's Hasidim in Eretz Yisrael. Now, under normal circumstances, this accusation would have been treated extremely seriously. And they would have right away, like they did with the Alter Rebbe, you go and arrest him right away with the black wagon. However, the government questioned the truthfulness of such an accusation. After all, since the Alter Rebbe was very much helped the Russian government during the war with Napoleon, why exactly would his son now be going against the government? And also, the Tsar gave the Mittler Rebbe the title of honored citizen for all generations. And he also gave him the land in Kherson to use for the Yidden. And he gave him help in other matters. So would it make sense that he would go and send money to the Ottoman Empire? And thinking of these questions, the government strongly suspected that the accusations were not completely true. So they decided we're not going to arrest what they called him, Rav Dov Ber Shniuri, which was his last name, just because of an accusation, right? There's no real proof yet. We don't have facts, especially since his father, they did that to his father twice, and both times he was found to be innocent. So we're not going to make him go crazy. Nevertheless, it's a very serious accusation. We can't just say, oh, we're dismissing it. So they quietly began a small investigation. And they said, when we finish the investigation, we're going to, you know, it's so basically that in the beginning that the way that these letters made out the Mittler Rebbe to be bad, it was like there's no real substance to it. It's not there. Now, based on the results of the investigation, the government decided not to arrest the Mittler Rebbe and bring him to Petersburg for questioning, like they did with his father. Rather, the local governor general of Vitebsk, his name was Governor Chavonsky, he would continue the investigation in Vitebsk. If the investigation showed there was some truth to the accusations, then he would be brought to the Senate in Petersburg for questioning. But if there were no problems found, so it would just be dropped in the middle of the Rebbe, would be declared free, and that's it. All suspicion, nothing. He's totally free. And we'll continue with the arrest next time.